Thank you so much. What a beautiful welcome. I was going to start in the heart, but I see Patricia already started there. Thank you. And that's actually, in HeartMath, when we do any meetings or any sessions or anything, that's what you actually do. Start in the heart, because we know that that will bring us some integration between our higher thinking and our heart, our intelligence, our care. And then we actually radiate that out to those that will be receiving the benefit of whatever it is we're going to be doing. So that's what I was doing while we were doing our you know, your introduction was going to our hearts. So thank you so much. So before I start, maybe that's better. Can you still hear me? There we go. So before we start, how many of you were here last time and got to see? Okay, were there any that weren't here? Okay. So what I want to do then today is we're going to start with just a little review to kind of fill in the pieces. I know you've got a lot, 6 hours. That's a lot, right? So we're going to just hit some high spots to start, like, reminding us of all the little pearls that are lined up on the chain. And that way we can review also the heart wisdom tool that he gave us. And also we're going to look for a new tool for two new ones that he wanted for recouping our coherence and sustaining our connection. And he said he's told you, I spoke with him and he says, oh, give them my best. They were a wonderful audience. And so just wanted you to know that greetings from David. So his heart wisdom tool actually consists of several steps, remember? And we're going to be breaking down those steps into little things that you can do along the way every day, sometimes proactively ahead of time, sometimes during whatever engagement you're in, and sometimes after for recouping energy. You know, it's like, oh, I'm stressed. And you can come back. And then we're going to look also at the concept of resilience. So the reason that we want to connect with realize what our connection is with resilience is so that if we are stressed, how much access do we have to our spiritual heart? Right? How kind are we when we're stuck in traffic and we're upset with the other cars? How kind and spiritual are we towards those other cars? Yeah, we get in our survival brain and it's like, get out of my way. This is about me and how I'm going to come out and I want to go from A to B. And we get stressed out, right? So, but when we're in our heart, we see the bigger picture and going, oh, look at the bigger picture, is how the whole traffic is flowing. So that's the distinction we're going to be playing with, but we want to make sure that we know how to handle our stress responses so we can stay connected to our spiritual heart. So that, and then we're going to also talk about group coherence and scientific studies that have proved the effect of one person being coherent in a group or several people being coherent in a group and how that influences all of the others. Okay? So, and also as Patricia shared, we're also going to be doing, during the break, the little social break, you'll have the opportunity of coming up and actually seeing your own heart rhythms and playing with them, seeing the interaction between our heart rhythm and what we're experiencing, and see it show up as those things change. Okay? Sound good? It's like, you know, when you get on an airplane, they're going, this airplane is going to Salt Lake City. If you weren't planning on going to Salt Lake City, now's your time to get off. One time I saw somebody do that. Ran up to the front right when they're closing the door. Oh, that's why they say that. I always wondered. Okay. So let's get started then, and I'm curious, the Heart Wisdom Tool, did anybody, oh, so let's go back and really do a quick review about the concept of coherence. Now we call it like heart entrainment, we can call it heart intelligence, because it's where our heart and our brain are connected, and I'll show you more about that. But it's also it's defined as an optimal state in which the heart, the mind, and the emotions are aligned and in sync, just like a rowing team, right? So that it's nice and predictable, and they're all doing it together. So if somebody does it, if somebody pulls too hard or not enough on one side, what happens? Circles, exactly, yeah. And physiologically, there's a lot that goes on, like our immune system and our hormonal system, our nervous system, they're in a state of energetic coordination. They're working together instead of against each other. So we're much more efficient and effective. It takes a lot less energy to stay aligned with that. So it's also a very regenerative state. We'll talk more about that. We recharge our inner battery when we are in a coherent state. And you may recall how they came up with this is that our heartbeat is always increasing and decreasing all the time. So, for example, this wave here? That's when we're inhaling, our heart rate speeds up a little bit. It just takes muscles to breathe in. Oops, these muscles all had to lift and pull apart our ribs so we could take in more air and push down our diaphragm. So it took more energy, our heart rate, more effort. So our heart rate goes up. And then we exhale. We relax all of those. And then our heart rate goes down. And then the heart rate goes up with each breath in, and the heart rate goes down. Now, heart math is not a breathing exercise. It's a heart exercise, because when we add our care, our what we care about, what opens our heart, what makes our heart smile, what fills our heart, expands our heart, that is what really shifts us into coherence. But this is the first stage, is just starting with the heart-focused breathing. And because 90% of all of our body's functions rely on this fluctuation up and down and up and down, and it responds to our digestion, our hormonal systems, our nervous system, our heart, all different things that our autonomic nervous system handles everything automatic while we sleep. One of the few things we can change is our breath, right? It goes on when we're sleeping, but we can also be proactive. And also for our heart rate variability, we can shift that with our feeling state. By the way, this... Oh, yeah. Thank you. No, I'm trying to do the pointer. There we go. There it is. It wasn't pointed in the right direction. The amplitude of this wave typically decreases as we age. That would mean the amplitude, like from the top to the bottom. Typically, that happens so that we become less flexible about, let's say, change, things going on. Little kids get really wise. And look how flexible they are. They can be like, wow, and then all of a sudden they're like sleeping. And then they get up and they go, wow, what are we going to do now? And they're crying, and they're happy, and they just go through a lot of flexibility in their nervous system. So what we have found is that by practicing these tools that we're talking about, practicing these tools actually can help make a wider amplitude with consistent practice. That's another reason why we want to really tap into and have more tools in your tool belt to deal with life. Now, obviously, the top one is when someone is stressed. Isn't that a good depiction of how it feels when we're stressed? Like, right? Versus, okay, nice move, I'm going to go through this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And what actually happens is, the stress inhibits our brain function. And here's how. Our heart is listening all the time. Our brain is listening all the time to our heart. If our heart rate is, if our heart rate is incoherent, that goes up to our brain, it goes to the medulla, which handles our blood pressure and our autonomic nervous system regulation and other things like hunger and thirst and other things, basic functions. It's right here at the back of the brain. But if quickly the message goes up, and here's because our brain and heart, our brain actually has this primitive brain, the old reptilian brain, that works with our survival brain, is what we like to call it. And if it interprets anything that's going on right here, right now, as life-threatening or even threatening at all to our well-being, then it interprets it and responds as if it's a saber-toothed tiger. It doesn't know the difference between technology, traffic, deadlines, a difficult conversation. It'll tell our body to respond as if it's a saber-toothed tiger and go into fight or flight, and then we can get really stressed. How do we step out of that, right? Especially since when this message goes up through the thalamus, and it may increase our blood pressure, so it's a wonderful opportunity to practice the heart math tools to change our blood pressure. But it also goes up to the amygdala, which is our emotional memory center. And right away, if we are inputting, incoherence, problem, hello, alert, and goes up, it's going to drag up negative emotions, or a negative response, past negative emotions. Because what the amygdala does is it compares what's happening right here to what's happening in the past. That's all it does. It's old information, nothing new. Old information. It just taps back into whatever's happened before. And then floods us with neurochemicals from the past. And old memories like, uh-oh, I remember what happened last time. And pretty soon now we've got the new situation and old situations dumped into our awareness. This is not helpful. So these tools are going to help shift us out of that into what is more helpful. Because when the amygdala gets triggered there, when the amygdala gets triggered and starts triggering negative emotions, it tells the thalamus, which coordinates all of our cortical activities, which is our higher brain thinking, even our coordination. It will trigger that and cut off supply to that, because we don't need to be thinking about what is the genus and species of that tiger and anything intellectual. We just like, let's get out of the way, let's handle this. We're in survival mode. So it shuts off our higher thinking and our access to like where the spiritual reflections are as well. So when we have a coherent heart rate, there we go, that's going up there. We're connecting with positive emotions, memories, situations, because we're actually appreciating, and that's going up and saying, yes, let's bring on our cortex, our higher thinking. So that's the mechanism of how this works. So let's go back then to David's heart wisdom tool. And remembering that the first step is self-awareness, like noticing where we are, what we're feeling. And that starts with heart-focused breathing. So let's do that now. Just putting our attention in the area of our heart. You can just, nobody even has to know you're doing it if you want. If you're doing this in the middle of life, you can put your hand there now. Just heart-focused breathing. About 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. And then the first step for his heart wisdom tool
is to touch the heart, to bring awareness there, and breathe. And the next step is to remember, any place where your heart was full. It can be an event. It has to be appreciating something right now. Allow yourself to actually feel that, appreciate that, recall it, step into it, feel it, while you're doing heart-focused breathing. And then if there's something you want to work with, you want to receive some wisdom from your spiritual heart, right now, just do a little scan. There are some areas that you'd like some clarity about. And with that issue, so third step is sincere asking. So it means being very sincere, you know, heartfelt, sincere. Like, is there a more effective response, solution, approach, attitude, and then be quiet and listen. Back whenever you're ready. Come back whenever you're ready. How was that? So let's break this down. Some additional steps that you can use anytime. That's what David asked me to do today. So, you know, we started with, you know, touching our heart and breathing. So we have a heart mass tool. It sounds so simple, just called heart focused breathing. But it's the first step to any other. It starts to bring more balance to your heart. It starts to bring more balance to your autonomic nervous system. And actually, it allows us to be more neutral just by itself. We used to call it the neutral tool. Because when we do that, the heart-focused breathing, you're actually, now we've stepped out of whatever we were in. Have you ever noticed that if you're in a tizzy, it seems like your whole viewpoint, right? It takes up our amygdala, our whole amygdala. Picks that up and starts going, whoa, and takes all of our attention. This, just the heart-focused breathing, puts us in the witness state of being here, witnessing our presence here in our heart. And we can start to notice our emotions and our thoughts. Now we are more like consciousness. Even spirit, noticing what's going on. It takes us out of being dragged around by it, having it have such a huge impact on it, just doing heart-focused breathing. And the steps, of course, seem really simple, but they're actually quite profound. So, and the thing is, you can do this anytime. We can do it all day. We can do it before we do something, we can during doing something, after, any time we can touch in to our heart-focused breathing. No one even has to know.
So let's just do it again, heart-focused.
And here's a tip, because we are all set up in our culture, especially, to think a lot and to be in our heads and not even notice it, because that's our familiar place. We even have all kinds of technology that are extensions of our thinking to help us think even more and be even more in our heads and take us out of our presence, of our own heart, our own self, our own center. We can think that we're in our heart, but this is pretty dominant, and it's encouraged all across our culture, our technology, everything that we're doing. So when you go to heart focus, check in. See if you're looking at it down from your head. Are you looking down at your heart? One reason he has you touch it, so you can feel that from the outside at least. So if you find yourself looking down at your heart, take this imaginary elevator down with our awareness and our perception, so we aren't looking out from the eyes of the head. So we're taking the elevator down to the eyes of the heart. And you'll find a sense of expansion will occur. It's a more spacious place. It'll be a kinder view. The brain will want to zero in on something and try to figure it out. The heart holds this beautiful space for the bigger truth and a bigger perspective. So heart focus. And heart breathing, about 5 seconds in and 5 seconds out. I'd like some feedback. How was that for everyone? Yeah, any questions? That's a very calming effect. And sometimes that's the first step. Just doing that tells us, what do I need to do next? And it may be to use the Heart Wisdom Tool. It may be to take the next step, which is quick coherence. And that step starts out with heart-focused breathing. And then we're going to activate a renewing feeling. Now, a renewing feeling can be anything, let's say, that makes your heart smile, anything that you appreciate or have gratitude for. Oh, let me forget your... I have some handouts for you for this. Yeah, let's do that. This is going to be a nice reminder. They're brand new. I just ordered them for you guys. Okay, thank you. So this is a takeaway for you, which will remind you about the difference between the heart rate when we're stressed and when we're really coherent and in the zone, right? And by the way, not literally in the zone. This is used by athletes to go in the zone. to stay coherent, so that they're in this zone and they're in their peak performance, because it helps with coordination as well as thinking and calm, centered movement, being in the flow, which is what they're wanting. And the it's also used for first responders, so that they can be really calm and present, but also have a heightened situational awareness around them. They know everything's going on, so they're really safe and they can keep the space safe. And they're obviously they're stepping into an area where people are stressed, where they wouldn't be calling for help, right? They're in a survival mode. And how can they be the most present and coherent to help all those that they're serving, as well as avoid medical errors and things like that? They prove that it improves that. It's used by in schools to help kids learn and to help kids learn emotional intelligence as well. And they use it for the military to help handle stress. Again, increase situational awareness. And police, too, as part of those first responders we were talking about, to help make choices that instead of reacting, they'll be responding and having good, making good choices in the moment. And they also use this in hospitals because they found it reduces the amount of medical claims that the hospital staff has because they're healthier. And lower turnover, they like their jobs, they feel good, they don't come home so stressed out and exhausted. The patients feel more cared for. There are fewer medical errors. So a lot of benefits to doing this, and we teach it in corporations too and in churches as well. Okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No popping. Okay. I know. Okay. So, and it's hard to shout out heart tools, too, because it's a deep inward process. I know, it's like you go in. All right. So, what we have here on the quick coherence technique is for you to take with you. Thank you. And also, it's just reminders here on the back, but also a list of renewing emotions. So there's a lot of possibilities for what renewing emotions you can tap into. So I like to think of it as something that makes your heart smile, which is something you have appreciation or gratitude for. So this could be a person, a place, a thing. It's what, if you were filling out a gratitude list, what would that be? And every time you're filling out a gratitude list, you're helping your heart, right? Do you realize that that's why traditionally we say grace before we eat? The wisdom of the ages, that when we're in a state of appreciation, it's going to help our digestion. That's one of the things that is run by our autonomic nervous system. How wise. And connecting, it's a beautiful time to stop and connect with spirit, connect with our spiritual health, connect with spirit. So any time like feeling a state of kindness, having received kindness, best feeling kindness towards others, love or care, again, it could be a person, a place, a thing, a sunset, a child, a pet, a friend, or a place of compassion. Just so you see something going on that may be stressful, and you want to just go to compassion, it may be the best that we can do in that moment. It's just really, without overcaring and feeling sorry for the other person, what will happen if we feel sorry for them? We'll get stressed out. They do exactly. We're going to talk about the influence of that exactly right on.
because when we're stressed, yes, you have a question? Right, especially the amygdala is more like a computer, and how that affects, it all depends on definitions of, you know, of mind, and I'm probably not right now, but I'd be happy to talk with you about that afterwards. Yes. Yeah, like, I don't want to add another element right now. Okay, pretty much we'll have a question and answer period later. So even if all the best we can do is have tolerance and patience. All right? And let's appreciate them. They were like working overtime ahead of time with all the tech stuff. My gosh, because we had to move a lot of things around. It was just awesome. And they stayed really coherent while they were doing it. They must have been, they were doing their heart-focused breathing, I think. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to do this. All right, next step. Okay. So can you all hear me? Fine? Okay. But even enthusiasm or joy, those are different renewing feelings you can tap into. So I just wanted to make sure you had the full buffet before you start down the buffet line. You get to see all that's possible. So you can have a bite of any one of these at any time you want to get more coherent. All right? So for right now, what we want to do is we're going to start with our heart-focused breathing and then step into whatever we appreciate, a gratitude for, or other renewing feelings. Something that gives you that sense of a fullness in your heart, or makes your heart smile. So let's do it right now then, and I'll keep my voice up even though we're going in. So, heart-focused breathing. And while we're doing heart-focused breathing, recall anything you have that appreciation or gratitude or other renewing feelings. And actually feel it. Feel the gratitude, the appreciation, the care, the love. And just keep breathing, heart-focused breathing, while you're feeling that. And that's what puts us into that beautiful, undulating, coherent heart rate increase and decrease. So let's take it one step further. And now we're going to take that and actually sustain that. And this is where we start to build our coherence muscle, our connection to our spiritual heart. This is where that happens. We're going to sustain this for several minutes. We're going to marinate, immerse ourselves in this coherent field, giving our whole system, body, mind, spirit, system, time to come into sync. So we do it starting with our heart-focused breathing. And we do them really quickly. And then we activate a heart feeling, a renewing feeling again. And then we sustain that. Which means if your attention goes away from the first thing you start to focus on, allow yourself to go to the next one. And then the third step we will do is we will radiate that. Which means think of like the sun radiating heat, right? Or a radiant heater that you have. Just radiate it. Well, you all know how to do that. You did that when I walked in. You just radiated your love to me. Thank you. Thank you so much. So that's what we do, is we radiate, and I'll guide you in that radiation. So let's start then with our heart-focused breathing. And again, you can try to figure it out. Take that elevator down, and then you feel that heart presence. And as if you're breathing in and out of your heart. And you allow that sense of expansion and relaxation there in the heart center. Not necessarily a pump, but it's more like where you feel love. Now activate a renewing feeling. Allow yourself to really feel it. From appreciation, gratitude, care, compassion, love. And as you're feeling it, keep your heart focused breathing. Sustain that. And then we're going to radiate that to ourselves first. On the airplane, you know, giving the oxygen mask so that we can be there for others. Feed your fears, your body, mind, and spirit. Feed yourself by radiating that care. As you fell in your body, every aspect of your being. And now check in with your heart wisdom and ask if there's somewhere else I should radiate that. Someone that you would like to send your care. It could be a worldwide situation. It could be someone close to you. It could be something that you're facing that you're going to be stepping into. Let your heart wisdom guide you as to where to radiate it, and it may be to radiate it to yourself. It could even be a body part. Just sending it some love if you feel it could use some help. Your heart guides you. Just tapping into those renewing feelings so you can radiate that. Keep checking in with your heart intelligence, your heart wisdom, as to where to radiate this. It can shift also, I'm feeling full, let your heart intelligence, your heart wisdom guide you to wherever next to radiate that care, appreciation, gratitude, that coherence. Like a radio station. And before you end any heart lock-in, you're like locking into these feelings. Whenever you're ready to end, just check in with your heart, your spiritual heart. Is there anything it wants you to know? Or is there any shift in perception? Anything shifted or changed since before you started this exercise, this tool? You can bring that back with you when you leave your heart lock-in. Whenever you're ready, just come on back. Someone's taking care of us. Now we're right. See, they're always looking out for us.
through my computer.
Okay.
Any questions? Anybody want to... Yeah, okay. Yes, come to the mic if you have a question or just an observation. There you go.
These are more observations, I think. I thought it was very telling that the lungs are right next to the heart.
They're nesting right around the heart, yes.
And that just seemed incredible to me when I realized that. About the third or fourth go-around this morning, I realized that. The other thing, when you were doing the radiate part of this,
yes,
my hands just started tingling. And it's that happens in Tai Chi class, too. When we're doing certain things, they start to tingle. The other thing is, you know, in some stressful situations, you don't really have time. You have to concentrate on the stressful situation. You don't really have time to go through this. I take my grandson to DP High School every morning to drop him off, and I can't think of any more stressful situation than all those kids on bicycles and crosswalks, and half the time he's late. So, you know, sometimes there are situations you can't really go through all these steps. So I try to do it ahead of time before I leave home.
Yes.
Because that is just, I mean, you have to be right on the dime every second in that situation. And it goes on for at least 10 minutes by the time you get through there. So are you suggesting that this becomes something that you do as a daily practice, perhaps? Because in a stress, like even on the freeway, if someone stops ahead of you, you don't have time to do this. You've got to put on the brakes.
Absolutely. And that's why, thank you for bringing up all those points. Because that's why we did quick coherence and we took some time doing it. The fact is that quick coherence is designed so that it can turn around in one breath. With practice, hard focus, hard breathing, and you can, when you've created enough neural pathways, that's why the practice is necessary and actually doing a heart lock-in in between. Like when we have the time to do a heart lock-in, the luxury of doing a heart lock-in, or it's actually a necessity, really, for resetting our system and creating those neural pathways to what we do care about and are those positive emotions, because that creates a pathway then up to our amygdala that has those positive memories, and that allows us to have all our resources and our situational awareness, which you're talking about. There's bicycles going everywhere, and cars and lights and people crossing. We want to have be on top of that, and that's why we teach it to EMTs and you know, fire departments and all first responders, because they do their heart lock-in and build those neural pathways and those that coherence baseline. The more that you do like a heart lock-in, it starts to raise our coherence baseline. We are coherent more often. It takes more to stress us out. If we fall off and go, okay, and we can bring it back faster, because as we practice this, we are raising our coherence baseline, which you knew what I was going to talk about next, right?
Okay.
So we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'll talk about that and show you actually how that works, too. But as we raise our coherence baseline, then these things become a little easier to navigate. And also remember that the width of our capacity for flexibility starts to increase a bit, too. So just doing, practicing the heart-focused breathing, we can do that anytime. We can be heart-focused breathing that brings us more present, even when we're driving. Our heart can be online. We're just trying to bring it online.
Yeah, well, I try to do it before I leave the house in the morning.
Absolutely. Doing quick coherence before, and then, and we can be driving and kind of be aware of what we appreciate, too. Okay. I think we're going to take a break now, and then we can put other questions. If you have other questions, let me know, and we'll come back. And feel free then to meet John over there. Or Eileen and I will have two stations set up here so that you can actually experience and see your own heart rate variability if you'd like. So thank you so much. During the break. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.